across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, August 10th. Not from Lake Wissota today. We're still at the Civic Media Madison studios on this Thursday, which is also World Lion Day, National S'mores Day, and National Lazy Day. There you go. So you can be lazy and enjoy a s'more and, I don't know, maybe watch The Lion King. A lot of things going on this Thursday, August 10th. Coming up this hour, we'll talk to Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer about the latest call by Governor Tony Evers for a special session next month of the legislature. As in many instances from the governor, he can't order the legislature to do anything other than come in for a session. And even then, all of the legislators don't come in for the session. The arrogance that the Republicans in the legislature show is demonstrated by just one or two legislators coming in, banging the gavel and saying, per the governor's, you know, order, the special session will now come to order, then hit the gavel again and say, this concludes that special session of the legislature. That's what they've done about 10 times so far when Governor Evers calls a special session on all manner of important issues. And again, because the governor can't compel anything, you have to think of the special session as an invitation to come in and debate the merits of a particular issue. You might propose legislation, you might debate a bill, and you might actually get something done. But this legislature and the session that was around in Governor Evers' first term has never really been interested in getting anything done so much as playing politics with the very real issues that face Wisconsin families, which nowadays includes affordable child care and for businesses involves a labor shortage of workers who would actually like to keep working, but they either have a family situation at home or they can't afford daycare. And so one of the parents has to stay home because it actually costs more to work because of what's happened to childcare costs in this country. There's certainly room for supporting the University of Wisconsin system rather than giving them a cut symbolically because you're against diversity and inclusion. So all these things are an invitation from the governor to say, would you like to work on this? And again, he's saying in this instance, hey, now that the state budget is done, there are things that didn't get done that we both would like to maybe advance. Would you like to get together on that? And we're going to find out next month if Republicans are going to change their tune or not, or if they'll just continue to be obstinate about some of the issues that Wisconsin families and small businesses care most about.
I do have a prediction. I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is that this is going to be the gavel in and out.
It would be. I mean, I would at least give them credit if they gave us a sound effect, you know, when they were doing that.
That's true.
So here we are at the Civic Media headquarters in Madison, right near the top of State Street, across from the Overture Center. I can look out the window here and see traffic moving around the outer loop that's around the Capitol, and it's a very nice place. I see we've updated the Up North News radio graphic is on the monster screen behind me here for folks watching on the live video feed. I've also noticed as well, much like you experienced at the old University Avenue studios. Yeah, it's about 90 degrees when you first walk in here in the morning because, again, there's nobody here. There's no reason to waste the electricity on air conditioning. But I'm wondering if I could somehow, before I leave here today for Chippewa Falls, if I could somehow rig a timer on this thing to start the air conditioner at about, you know, 4:59 a.m.
That is something we should definitely look into.
I'll bet that's the line you hear from the corporate folks all the time, too. That is something we really should look into.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But, you know, this affects me, so I want to do it.
Well, of course, yes. But beyond that, it's, again, a great facility. It is still a work in progress. But when it is all done, as the Civic Media Network continues to grow, it will become easier to basically route programming to multiple stations at once, and also have separate programming because there are a lot of local shows that are on in various markets. So it's very exciting to see that kind of an investment here. A reminder that if you want to call in to this lovely new studio, our number is 844-967-2789. We covered a lot of state-based topics with Joe Zepecki in our last hour, and if you missed it, go to the Civic Media website or the Civic Media app. We turn every hour of programming into a different podcast episode that you can subscribe to and listen to at your leisure, as you're willing to. You can also reach us radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or you can use that Civic Media app to text us. The studio here includes some nice new big monitors, one that shows us the callers as they come in, one that shows the text messages as they come in, and one that shows the messages that come in on our Facebook pages where we broadcast as well. When we come back, we're going to talk about that presidential debate that is going to be happening in Milwaukee among Republican candidates in less than 2 weeks. There's a little bit of news about that, about whether Donald Trump will take part in the debate, or at least is he willing to adhere to the ground rules in order to participate in the debate. So we'll cover that and a little bit more just ahead of the appearance at the bottom of the hour by Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer. So stick around, a lot to cover on Up North News Radio for this Thursday. We'll be back.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just wanna lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone. 'Cause today I swear I'm not doing anything.
I gotta ask, in all honesty, you taking a shot at me for not picking any bumper music today that I'm just knocking off early, being lazy?
You said it was National Lazy Day.
Oh, that's right. See, you do pay attention to the show. That's outstanding. All right. look at this. We've already got people publicly on our side here. Tony Zimmerman is writing in from our YouTube page. Please convince management to invest in improved cameras. That would be fantastic.
We're going to save this comment for further use.
We're totally going to. And it's also going to be used against us when we're reminded we want people listening to their local Civic Media radio station. But still, if we're going to do the live stream, let's have folks up on there. And let's look good. We all want to look good, right? I mean, for those of you who watch the live stream right now, you get to see Jennifer Wachinski, who comes in every day and has this nice picture that we got off the Weatherology website. Jen, good morning. I don't know, how far along that picture is, if you want it updated or anything, but people are definitely happy to see your face every morning as you tell us about the weather.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's relatively recent, so it's I think it's a good one.
Okay, well, see, some of us are still using photos from like 20 years ago, so I salute you for being able to keep it recent. So, tell us about the weather as we get set to head toward the weekend.
Yeah, well, today it looks like sunshine for all today. Highs in the mid to low 80s for the southern half of the state, Richland Center southward, then upper 70s from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin as that cold front begins to push through. Chance for showers and storms coming in for western Wisconsin, Amory down to Richland Center this afternoon, then a chance for those storms for the central portions of the state tonight along that cold front. Looks like dry for southern Wisconsin. Friday, a chance for showers and storms across the board with a slight risk for severe weather as well. That's a level 2 out of 5 on the severe weather scale. Main threats look to be large hail and damaging winds tomorrow, but there could be some tornado potential tomorrow from Oshkosh down to Madison and over towards Milwaukee. So definitely something we'll keep you posted on as we get through the day tomorrow. Temperature-wise, it looks pretty similar actually to today with highs in the mid to low 80s, a few spots lingering in the upper 70s still. And then for the weekend, Saturday, sunny skies for all with highs again pretty much around 80 into the mid 80s. Then on Sunday, sunny and dry from Milwaukee over to Madison, then a chance for some rain and storms developing in the afternoon hours from Richland Center northward. Highs linger in the low 80s for the south and then upper to mid 70s from Amory through Wisconsin Rapids to Oshkosh as another cold front begins to come through the state at that point.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
You too.
from Weatherology. That's meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. It's 63 degrees in Waukesha, 63 in Oshkosh as well, 58 up on Lake Wissota, where I hope to be back tomorrow doing the show regularly. And here in Madison at Mad Radio, WMDX, it is 63 degrees. Did I hit a wrong button, Aaron? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was me.
That was you? Okay, just making sure. Again, we've been talking a bit about the juggling between, you know, both a radio show and wanting the video component of it to work smoothly. And sometimes the juggling works, and sometimes you hear about it on the air, which you shouldn't do. Let's turn to sports now. For the Brewers and Rockies, they wrapped up their series yesterday afternoon at American Family Field. And much like Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon featured an ugly 10th inning, but at least Colorado's 10th inning was uglier than the Brewers, and that's how Milwaukee stays atop the National League Central Division. It started in the top of the 10th when newly acquired outfielder Mark Canha fumbled a double in left field. It led to the Rockies scoring a run and taking the lead 6-5. But now fast forward to the bottom of the 10th, and Canha ties things up with a double. And then with two outs and Canha on third, all the Rockies shortstop had to do was take a grounder by Andrew Monasterio and throw it cleanly to first. That would have sent the game to the 11th inning, but he short-hopped the throw right past the first baseman. Canha scores. It's an E6, and the Brewers end up winning 7-6 and taking 2 out of 3 in that series. The Brewers will hit the road. They're off today. They'll be in Chicago tomorrow to start a series against the White Sox. Then it's out to the West Coast to take on the LA Dodgers, and then down to Texas to take on the Rangers. Hear all the Brewers games in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support and on News from the Center when you're in the Richland Center area as well. So there's going to be this Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee. It's supposed to happen later this month. But the Republican National Committee, meaning the National Republican Party, has laid out some ground rules and said that if you want to take part in this August 23rd debate in Milwaukee, you have to sign a pledge that you will support the eventual Republican nominee. What do you think Donald Trump was going to do with that? He's already saying, he said on an interview with Newsmax yesterday, why would I sign it? I can name 3 or 4 people that I wouldn't support for president. So right there, there's a problem. He declined to name the candidates, saying, quote, there's no reason to insult them. But he did single out South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, for example. He did single them out for praise, saying that they've been very nice. Now, this is a slight surprise for me because I wouldn't have been a bit shocked if Donald Trump had said, yeah, I'll sign this. And like so many other things that he signed and so many other promises that he's made, he would try to weasel out of it, making up some excuse or the other. So it appears to be one of two things. Either he's telegraphing that, no, he has no interest in taking part in the Milwaukee debate because in his mind, it would elevate the others in the field to put them on the same stage as him. So either he's not going to, or he just wants to keep the drama going and prove that he can take part in the Milwaukee debate without signing the pledge, that he'll basically just, you know, bully his way onto the stage like he did in that, you know, infamous photo from an overseas summit where he just knocks some other world leaders to the side so that he can get to the front of the crowd. You know, that is his way. So we don't really know yet if Trump's going to be on that stage in Milwaukee. I think that if I had to, you know, put a dollar on it, I'd say he's going to have a rally or some other event someplace and, again, try to prove that his ratings would be better than, you know, the ratings for, I believe it's Fox News, that will have this debate in Milwaukee later on this month. Trump went on to do other things in the Newsmax interview, including essentially once again confessing to the crime of trying to steal the election and overturn the election. He again defended his phone call with the Georgia Secretary of State. I don't know if he called it a beautiful phone call again, but he again noted that he was looking for, you know, 11,780 votes. And he again said in this interview something that he seems to think is going to be key to his legal defense. He said repeatedly, I believe I won. I believed I won back then. I still believe I won. I believe I won by hundreds of thousands of votes. You can believe whatever you want. You can lie all you want in this country, but there is a line, and the line is when those lies go from words to deeds. And the deed was that phone call, the pressure being brought by a president of the United States onto a state official, hinting at perhaps criminal charges if this person doesn't help him out and find votes. In other words, cheat, rig the numbers. So I don't know why there's been so much emphasis lately on, you know, Trump's First Amendment defense and the First Amendment rights of a candidate. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, there's free speech in America, but that political speech is especially protected. Well, perhaps, but it's gotten caught up in another form of speech, and that would be money. And what I mean is this. There is a group that's going to start running ads in the Atlanta area targeting the Fulton County District Attorney, who may be about to bring criminal charges against Trump for that Georgia phone call and for the entire, you know, fake electors scheme that he was working on. So these ads say either very negative or misleading things about the district attorney. Now, one would say, well, that's political speech. As long as it doesn't contain a direct threat, then, you know, that group or that person has to be allowed to say them. And I would say no, because it gets tied up in the biggest weakness in our political system today, and that is this notion that money equals speech. Right now, if you are a criminal defendant, if you are accused of a crime, you don't have the money to run an ad campaign targeting the district attorney and calling her all kinds of names. And basically, what are you trying to do with those messages? You're trying to taint the jury pool. You're trying to intimidate jurors or intimidate witnesses when you have the money to run a campaign. It's a lot like I said in the last hour about the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. You don't have to engage in some of the more crass forms of racial intimidation in this day and age. If you got money, you can threaten the Appleton School District with a lawsuit. And now, as long as money is equated to speech, and especially political speech, we're told that we have to allow either a criminal defendant like Donald Trump or a group on his behalf to say whatever they want to say, even if it is most assuredly intended to taint the jury pool and to intimidate witnesses. And so it seems to me we have been looking for a very long time into either a constitutional amendment or some other kind of mechanism that breaks this bond between money and speech and says that corporations aren't people and so forth. It seems to me if we were in another time and place with a U.S. Supreme Court that wasn't as rigged as it was with right-wing politicians and justices' robes, we wouldn't use a constitutional amendment. We would actually use this case, that somebody would bring a case, either the Fulton County DA or a special counsel or somebody else, that says these commercials, this ad campaign targeting the district attorney is not protected speech, and that there should be some kind of penalty or consequences about that. And again, in a more just world, a court would say yes, an appeals court would say yes, and a U.S. Supreme Court would take that case and make it clear that money does not equal speech, that most speech is protected, but we know the speech that's not, and that includes threats, and that includes intimidation or intent to taint a jury or intimidate witnesses. This would be the best case to bring forward, I think, in this day and age, in a more just world. Unfortunately, with each of the past presidential campaigns, where some voters decided to vote for the person they'd rather have a beer with, rather than looking carefully at who they would actually nominate to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. It means we'll not get justice in this particular instance, but I'd sure like to see him try anyway. And I'd sure like to see Donald Trump and others sweating bullets over the notion that they might actually face consequences for trying to do things that you and I can't get away with if we were a criminal defendant. We'll stop here and come back to Governor Tony Evers and his call for a special session. We'll ask Assembly Democratic leader, State Representative Greta Neubauer of Racine, all about that. When we come back, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday, you're up north. We'll be right back. Minute by minute, we will listen to the time tick away at the Capitol while we wait to see if legislative Republicans would like to come in and work. And so we're going to talk to State Representative Greta Neubauer about that, the Assembly Democratic leader. Representative Neubauer, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, so nice to have you here. And we'll obviously get into all of the issues that could be part of a special session throughout this conversation. But let me start by putting it this way. We know that Governor Evers has called numerous special sessions, which I have described as invitations, to come in and debate a particular issue. We know how Republicans have done nothing of the sort, by and large. So I ask in all candor, were you surprised that the governor put out a special session, essentially trying again and not giving up on the notion of trying to get some more work done?
The thing is we just have to keep trying. These issues are so serious and they are so pressing that we really have no other option than to continue asking our Republican colleagues and to continue making clear how important it is that we come in for this special session in order to address these issues. You know, I'll just say one statistic for you right now, which is that the Century Foundation estimates that 2,110 childcare programs could close if we do not address the cliff facing childcare and the whole industry. And so we just simply have no other choice than to come in and take action on these issues, which are going to impact parents and families and whole communities if we do nothing.
As I try to look and get a sense of respect for whatever it is that opposes helping parents with affordable child care, one of the points that I know primarily from one particular blogger notes that there are some child care providers that aren't mom and pop operations, but that they're corporate owned, and they right away take this tone of, oh, suddenly Democrats are interested in giving tax dollars to corporations. And again, I could respond to that all day long, but I'm sure that you maybe hear something like that. So how do you address when people say, why are we giving money to pretty much all child care centers? Should it be done differently? Or is there a foundational reason why you would propose it this way?
Sure. And the reality is that it is just very expensive to provide childcare. When we're talking particularly about infants, there can only be a few infants for each adult in the room. And that means that it just costs a lot. And regardless of who is providing that childcare, of course, we all think about the mom and pop shops in our community and the places that are doing just incredible work to care for children and to prepare them for school. Everybody is in a crunch. You know, I was on a call just last night with a number of childcare providers. I was talking to a woman from south end of Milwaukee, and she was telling me about how she has the children of engineers and computer scientists, truck drivers, folks all across the workforce, right, in all sorts of levels. For all of those people, the cost of childcare is a big question. And we, of course, know that rising costs of childcare and doing nothing to stabilize the industry is going to impact those people who can least afford to absorb those additional costs. And those parents go to all types of providers, right? So rising costs and less accessibility in communities across the state, many of which are characterized as childcare deserts already, is just going to impact those who can least afford to pay and who most need to be in the workforce to make sure that their family can make ends meet.
So yeah, we totally understand that this is a straw man argument and one of several that are brought up in an instance like this. It takes me to something that is a bit more basic politically in terms of the divide between the two mm-hmm. parties today. There is a party that has no problem with tax cuts and sees that as some kind of an investment, if you will, as opposed to direct spending on childcare assistance, on helping restaurant owners during the pandemic, on a whole host of other things. Can you explain from a basic political standpoint why it is that you and Democrats and progressives favor something that is more direct in terms of the assistance you provide, as opposed to a tax cut, which certainly strikes me as, one size fits all when all sizes are not the same?
Right. I mean, what the Republicans were talking about with the tax cut proposal that they put in front of us during the state budget was one that way disproportionately impacted the people who are the highest earners in Wisconsin. Now, what Republicans would say is that they want those people to choose Wisconsin, and they fear that they might leave for a more favorable tax climate. But the reality is that those 11 people who would be getting over $1 million each, right? Those are not the people who are driving our everyday workforce. Those are not the workforce behind the workforce. And those dollars going to support childcare or going to support workforce innovations or helping us kick off our paid family leave program in Wisconsin, that's what's going to make Wisconsin competitive long term. And that's what we see around the country, right? We know that the places that young people are choosing to move and choosing to stay are the places that have great schools, access to the outdoors, they're taking climate change seriously, they're not restricting the rights of LGBTQ people or people of color or women. Those are the places that young people want to live. And that's how Wisconsin is competitive long term.
Well, exactly. The competition comes in the day-to-day expenses. And look, but the gross overstatement about this would be that I used frequently as a candidate myself is that you can meet virtually nobody who says, oh, the tax rate is the number one issue. If I make a decision whether to live here, work here, move a business here, there are so many other factors. Yes, people love to complain when they see a tax bill and taxes. No, nobody wants to be a cheerleader for taxes. But there are so many other factors that come into play. But so many of those factors would then involve direct support from a state's elected leaders. And we just seem to have a modern Republican Party that is allergic to spending money for the common good, as opposed to just, cutting taxes. It just seems like that's the only hammer that they have in the toolkit.
Right. And we know that many families are really struggling still to make ends meet, right? We have seen rising costs. That is real. And we need to make sure that our taxes are not overburdening those people who can least afford them. But what we don't need to do is look at the top bracket, right? Those top income earners, those incredibly wealthy and successful corporations and say, you know who's struggling to get to the end of the month? Those people. Because it's just not true, right? And it is disingenuous to say that that is what is going to make Wisconsin a place where everyone can thrive and we can all succeed long term.
And it is extremely fair to say there's plenty of room in the middle between, what, say, Assembly Democrats would do or what Governor Evers proposed versus what Republicans ultimately passed that Governor Evers had to partially veto. And it seems the governor is saying, and I certainly think for you as well, yeah, there's room to meet in the middle that's going to cut taxes more than maybe what we'd want in some of the higher brackets, but we're willing to go there if it helps other people. Am I more or less stating that correctly?
Yes. I mean, that's Governor Evers just said, I'm willing to have that conversation if it means that you all are willing to have the conversation about childcare and these other challenges facing our workforce. Because as I said when I got on this show, it's just a really desperate and urgent situation in the childcare industry. And you are either not looking or not answering the calls from parents or providers in your district, or willfully ignorant to this reality if you don't recognize that it's a problem. As I said, I was just talking to a number of providers yesterday who are telling me about the changes that they're gonna have to make, that they're considering closing. I mean, this is going to hit every single corner of Wisconsin, and the ripple effects on the rest of the workforce and people's ability to maintain their employment at their current levels, right? And to support these other industries are gonna be really, really significant.
And look, if you need look no further than the recent compromise that made a lot of people unhappy, but it was still a compromise reached on the subject of education spending, where, you know, many people are unhappy with how much more money went in to support voucher schools. But at the same time, it did bring in a large infusion of state aid to public schools. So it's one of those compromises that people don't like. Some say maybe we shouldn't have done it all, but there's room somewhere there in the middle. Certainly don't see why that can't happen with childcare as well. Let's move on to the University of Wisconsin system, which, again, for the Republicans in the legislature to provide what I refer to as a symbolic cut, you know, $32 million, which is, it's not a drop in the bucket, but it's a small amount of the total university budget. But it was done out of spite, because of that's what they said the value is of the diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that the UW schools have, at a time with a record surplus. So again, the governor's calling in a special session to say, okay, you guys have made your point. Did your Republican colleagues at some point lose their way and fail to see that our university system is an immense jobs pipeline?
You know, it is hard to understand, right? We know we have an incredible system across the state. I'm right by UW Parkside here that is absolutely an economic engine for our region. It's hard to understand what is going through my colleagues' minds when they cut the UW system. And we are seeing the impacts of those cuts and the stagnant funding over many, many years right now, with UW Oshkosh announcing that they are going to have to make furloughs, layoffs, and non-renewals at a significant number because they have a structural deficit of $18 million. You know, that $30 million across the system, it might not sound like much, but what it really results in is less resources for our schools to do the essential work of educating the next generation and our workforce. And those impacts are going to be felt. Because it wasn't just a cut, right? It was also saying, you're not getting the increase that you asked for and you deserve based on the important work that you're doing, how costs have gone up, you know, all of those economic realities. And so the governor has proposed a $66.4 million additional investment in the UW system for general operations, finally funding that engineering building project at UW-Madison, which of course, I've heard from companies, manufacturing companies in my district, I know people have all around the state, but how important that building is to be educating our future engineers, and then also an increase in support to technical colleges and with the Wisconsin Grants Program. Again, all of which are really essential for us to make sure that the UW system is able to continue its critical function in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there's so much more that that we won't have time to dwell on. We've put a little slideshow together at Up North News on our social media sites on Facebook and Instagram. You can go through the slides and see not only the support for paid family leave, but as you mentioned, the technical colleges, financial aid help for college students, solutions to address the teacher shortage, solutions to address the healthcare worker shortage. Every one of these things, a real world, a real problem that we could be helping with, that our elected officials could be helping with, but choose not to. So Representative Neubauer, in just 10, 15 seconds here, What's your best guess on does some kind of a deal maybe come out of this, or are we expecting a gavel in, gavel out situation again?
You know, we are going to continue to work for a deal. That's why our constituents sent us to Madison. That is the work that we have to do. We simply need to address these issues, and we will continue to fight for that every single day.
Leader Greta Neubauer of Racine. Greta, thank you so much. It's so great to talk to you as always. Hope you're enjoying your summer, and look forward to visiting and getting another update again soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take this break now, and when we come back, we'll see if we can talk to one Luke Mathers, along with Aaron, about some of the other things coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network to wrap up the week and take you into the weekend. We'll be back in just a bit. You're up north. Marshal of Civic Media, Luke Mathers, host of Town Call, weekdays 12:15 to 1 o'clock, right after the noon news here. First, we're going to take care of some housekeeping, some literal housekeeping. And I like that Tony here puts in this comment, now that Luke is here, about those improved cameras. Well, Tony, wait in line. I want to talk about the stool situation first. Now, I'm not trying to be disgusting here. I'm talking like bar stools. Where are the stools, man? I've been standing for 2 hours. I'm an old man. I had to pull up a short chair. I can sit in one of the little short chairs here, but I'm way back here then, and it doesn't really quite work for radio. So where's the stools?
While you're here, you've got the Jeep, right? We can throw some from the old facility into your Jeep and bring them on over, because that's what we're – I honestly don't know how –
You moved plenty of other things. You just left those behind, like lost toys?
We still have a couple of things we're in the process of moving, Pat, and the priority was making sure that all the wires went into the right spot so the audio goes out over the air. I'm sorry.
I get that, but I mean – There's toilet paper here. There's paper for the, you know, the printers. So you took care of a lot of basics.
Yeah. Hats off to
just not a place where I can put my tuchus.
One of our tremendous team members, Alice, was integral in making sure that we got everything moved over so far that is there. We've got a little bit more to do, but yes, stools are on the list. I don't have the biggest car. I think I could maybe get one of them over if I put down my back seats.
True. I am in Madison where, you know, everybody's either got a little electric, a little hybrid, or apparently we need some folks from Chippewa County to bring their F-150 that's the size of a duplex to come on down here.
Mr. Alba has been very, very, very busy himself, and he does have a nice truck.
Yes,
but
we haven't had
a chance to pin down an opportunity to throw some of those stools in the back of the truck.
Yeah, but is he one of those urban cowboys? Has he ever actually scuffed the paint in that truck of his and hauled?
Somebody sideswiped him not too recently.
I was about to say, I know.
It is a big vehicle.
Yeah, but does he carry anything back there other than a 12-pack of Paps, you know?
He brought the big TVs to the studio.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was a Costco trip. I think they're like 75, 85-inch TVs.
Something like that.
Oh, I know.
They're massive. And we were like, how are we going to get these to the new facility? And Todd volunteered his truck, and we threw, I think, three of them in there at once because only our lead engineer, Corey, was trying to get some of the TVs there, and one took up the entire minivan. He couldn't fit anything else in the minivan besides the one TV.
Wow.
And so Todd came to the rescue and threw three of those brand spanking new TVs in the back of the pickup truck and got them to the Civic Media headquarters.
All right. So on our housekeeping list, we got to take care of stools. We talked earlier about the camera placement.
I guess I'll have to give Tony a call now and figure
Tony's watching you know, just to see what we've been speaking throughout the day about the multi-platform nature of what we do here now, which is our transition into podcasts and other shows and things, because we've got to be mindful of the radio, of the radio show, the control center here, making sure the radio stations work in all the cities. But, you know, we're also podcasting, we're live streaming, and that includes some weekend shows. For example, this time every week, we end up talking about Charlie Behrens and the Cripes cast, and Aaron and Luke know a thing or two about what we can expect from Mr. Behrens this weekend.
So yeah, the Cripes cast this weekend, Charlie Behrens invites on Major General Baker of the Army Reserve to talk about what it's like to serve in the Army Reserve and what kind of job opportunities there are, what kind of how they're addressing mental health crises in veterans, and what the future for the military looks like with AI.
Let me say first, I was talking to my college buddy, Kevin, who I've been staying with the past couple of days down here, and we got to talking about Charlie Behrens, and he was not aware of the Cripes cast and the show and the podcast. He said something along the lines of, you know, I haven't seen as many of Charlie's videos lately, and that's probably, you know, I don't know if it's output versus, you know, a lack of surfing on my friend's part. But I said, I really think it's great that Charlie's kind of, you know, expanding his range and interviewing people. It's not just comedians and it's not just all funny stuff. And the same exact thing goes for Kristen Bry, two of the funniest people I know, two of the most creative video people out there. But in both cases, they now have these shows where they get to tackle some meatier subjects and show that they've got talent in, you know, it beyond just the ha-ha. And I feel like we're so lucky to have both Kristen and Charlie putting out what they're doing here. But another one would be Luann Bird.
Yeah, and Luann is hosting conversations with important figures here in Wisconsin. And she's got Bird on the Wire. It's a podcast series that is turned back to the radio platform. So we're thrilled to be airing Bird on the Wire on WAUK 540 AM, the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha, every Saturday at 3. And Luann sits down with former Lieutenant Governor and U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes on this weekend's edition of Bird on the Wire. So it's an excellent conversation. You can hear it live on the air, or it's pre-recorded, excuse me. You could hear it, though, broadcast on the air at 3 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday on the Shaw this weekend. But you can also check out the Bird on the Wire podcast on Civic Media's website or wherever you get your podcasts.
And again, we're so, when I met her when she was running for state assembly, such an amazing, compassionate, colorful character who appreciates not just good politics, but also, you know, the arts as well. Always so civil. And it leads me to this. We have no shortage of quality people. And Luke, you know, I like you. I've said nice things about you.
This is the time where Pat puts out the bat signal to find anybody else in civic media besides me to come join him for this segment.
No.
And I'm totally fine with it because I don't want to follow up the minority leader every, like, you always book these excellent guests, Dr. Lyerly.
Yes.
You had on Greta Neubauer this morning. Yeah. I got to follow these excellent guests. So please, by all means, other civic media hosts can feel free to take this Thursday segment.
Well, maybe you can join us at 6:06 instead.
Yeah. I mean, if 7:50 is too much of a lift, 6:06 is available. When it's just me and Aaron here in the hot box. I like that. It's the same answer that Aaron got about the thermostat. You know, I'll look into that. We'll give that all due consideration. No, the point I was making is that we at both Civic Media and Up North News are always looking for new folks, for new talent, for new freelance, you know, writers, for contributors, maybe video contributors or people who would, you know, who like to write essays, you know, people who want to do TikTok videos. And so whether it's you or if it's somebody that you know, feel free to approach Civic Media and Up North News. We'd love to hear about them. We want to put the most creative voices and the most knowledgeable, you know, points of view out there. It's, you know, Luke's not going to feel insecure about that. He wants to share the load.
Yes, yes. Any assistance that we can get in lifting up the voices and the storytellers here in Wisconsin, that's what we're trying to do at Civic Media. And I know it's what you're doing at Up North News. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a tremendous, it's been just a wild year, Pat, and we're still going. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
It really is. All right, Mr. Mathers, thank you so much. Have a very good, hardworking day, the way that you always do. And thank you all for watching on the live streams, listening on your radio stations. We'll do it again tomorrow from beautiful Lake Wissota. Have a great day.